The Best Christmas Yet, and that title is used with intentionality. This could be the best Christmas season you've ever had. You know why? If you and I experience in our hearts what God's intention is behind sending His Son, it can be the best Christmas yet. We just have to put our hearts in a place for Him to speak to us, and we could learn or experience something we've never learned before that can just be life-changing. Now, last Sunday, we talked about hope, and everybody needs it. That was our first theme of Advent, and I want to review the definition. The definition on the screen, it's not just merely wishful thinking. I hope that the ice cream is good. I hope that person is there. Rather, when we talk about hope, we're talking about an expectation based on the promises of God. If you want hope in your life, get into His Word and read it and keep reading it until He prompts a promise upon your heart. You just connect with it. And it's an expectation that you build about your future, about your life, based on what God is saying to you. And that, my friends, will build hope into your life. We all need that. Okay, well, this morning, we're talking about peace. Peace. Did you know there's over 400 references in the Bible about peace? I mean, God wants you to have and experience peace. If I were to summarize the message today, He has chosen you to deposit peace into your life if we understand it, if we embrace it, and then we protect it. You know, we have to live in such a way that we protect the peace that's in our life. We can lose it, but we can gain it as well. So we're talking about peace this morning. And I want us to read a couple verses. It's in your notes. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, as we get this peace message going. Let's read it together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a definition of peace. It's in your notes. Peace is this. It's a supernatural inner calm. As we look at the Old Testament and the New, God wants you to have an inner calm in your life. You know why? All around us, the world is in turmoil and chaos. It's unraveling. It's falling apart. There's issues. There's shootings we learn on the TV, and this country's at war with this one. The world is a mess. But I want you to understand this Christmas season, He wants you to have inner calm. You are chosen for it. You were made for it. And He wants to deposit it into your life if you're open to Him putting it in there. I want to share with you four simple slides of thoughts about peace. These are good for the Christmas season. Choose to live life in peace, not pieces. Here's another one. Peace, it does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of all those things, you still experience a calm in your heart. Peace is not the absence of difficult circumstances. Peace is when you have it even though you have difficult circumstances. Here's another. Good Christmas advice. Don't let the behavior of others destroy your inner peace. Let's just camp out on that. Do not, over the next 3 to 4 weeks, as you go shopping, as you have family get-togethers, Do not let someone else's behavior steal or rob your peace. And the last one. Be selective in your battles. Sometimes peace is better than being right. Now, we all get this. There are some times you got to say something. There's other times, you know what? The bigger prize is holding your tongue to keep the peace. We have to discern it. Everybody's got to make that decision. But as you journey through the next 3 to 4 weeks of the month of December, everyone here is going to be challenged in this. And sometimes the greater prize is holding your mouth, your tongue, experiencing peace, rather than being right. But we're talking about peace today. Here's what I want to do. I want to share with you 4 truths about peace from the scriptures. And then I want to share with you 3 kinds of peace. We're going to break it down of how it applies to each of our hearts. And then we're going to share in communion together as at the end of the service. So, 4 truths about peace. Let's get started. It's in your notes. Number one, Isaiah the prophet prophesied about it. The Old Testament prophets spoke about peace. Read with me Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 in your notes. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. This is some 600 to 700 years before Jesus was born. And the Old Testament prophet Isaiah said, there is somebody coming, and he will be called the Prince of Peace. I want you to circle the word prince. A prince is someone who is an authority or a ruler over a principality or a sovereign state. Jesus is the sovereign ruler, the Prince of Peace, over eternity yet to come. And Isaiah says, listen, the Prince of Peace wants to deposit something into your life because of God's love for you. It's an inner calm birthed by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a quote by Billy Graham. To be a peacemaker, you must know the peace giver. If you want to be a peacemaker this Christmas season in your family gatherings, in your office Christmas parties, your neighborhood events, there could be anywhere else. If you want to be the peacemaker, let me tell you, you know how you do that? You got to start with knowing the peace giver. Who is that? The Prince of Peace. Who is that? That's Jesus himself. And so the Old Testament prophets were setting it up and say, listen, one of the missions of Christ is to be the Prince of Peace, and he will deposit it into your life so that you can get up every morning and journey through the day with the supernatural inner calm, even though the news we listen to, the broadcast, all are telling us a story of chaos in the world. All right, truth number two. The angels declared it. In other words, the prophets prophesied it, then the angel, the birth announcement, made a declaration. Let's read together Luke 2 in your notes. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests. That night, when the shepherds were in the field and the angels appeared in the sky, they made a peace announcement. The angels did. They made a declaration. You know what it was? that God wants to bring peace into men and women's heart through what Jesus could do for them. And I want you to understand, when that announcement was made that night, God had you in mind some 2,000 years later. He's got everybody in mind that peace can be a part of their life if we allow him to put it there. And so the angels declared it, made an announcement. The prophets, they prophesied about it. Okay, truth number three. The third truth about peace is that Jesus came to die so you could personally experience it. In other words, while it was prophesied, while it was declared or announced, Jesus came to pay a price so that we could experience it. Let's read together verses 14 to 16 in your notes. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. This is a loaded passage, but let me simplify it. When Jesus died on a cross, he paid a price to overcome and destroy the hostility that we have in our hearts towards God because of this thing called sin. You see, the world is hostile towards God. You and I were at one time hostile toward him. We didn't want anything to do with him. But when Jesus died on the cross, here's what happened. He somehow broke the barrier, this thing, this dividing wall of hostility, and through forgiveness, he took two entities, us and him, he joined it together, and he can make us one in him, and he gives us peace because of his death on the cross. Here's a picture of Christ carrying the cross, and the verse is small. Let me read it to you. It says, because he was wounded for our iniquities, our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He paid the price through his death on the cross to take two entities, your life and his life, to join them together, and he broke down the wall of his hostility so that you and I could know peace. And Paul says, he himself, Jesus, is our peace. And so we find that Jesus came to die. We celebrate Christmas, his birth. He lived 33 years. He died so that we could experience peace. We just have to take him up on the offer. If you and I want greater peace, we just need to lean into it and let him pour it into our lives. And finally, number four, the fourth truth about peace is this. The Holy Spirit wants to birth it in you. In other words, God wants you to experience it personally. Let's read Galatians 5:22 in your notes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's nine fruits here. And when you have Jesus Christ living in your life, these nine fruits should be growing in our life. The third one is peace. A supernatural inner calm that's placed there by the Spirit of God. And so God wants to just birth it in us. Romans 14:17 says this, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at this quote. When we put our problems in God's hands, he puts his peace in our hearts. I mean, when we surrender our lives, when we give him our heart, we give him all of it, you know what he does? He'll give us his peace in response. But if we don't and aren't willing to surrender our hearts or the area or areas of our life that we're holding on to, you know what the end result will be? We will not have the full measure of peace. I remember as a teenager and having a divided heart. I was not all in. I was partly in. Christ was in my life, but he didn't have all of me. And it wasn't until I fully surrendered that I felt the full sense of peace that only God can give. So, four truths about peace. The Old Testament prophets prophesied about it. Number two, the angels declared it. Number three, Jesus died so we could experience it. Number four, the Holy Spirit wants to give it to us if we're open to it. So here's what I want to do now. I want to talk about three different kinds of peace and just walk through these. I want you to listen carefully to see where you're at in relation to these three different areas. Okay, number one, the first kind of peace is this. It is peace toward God. This is what can be called the vertical peace. It's upward. It's between your heart and God, nobody else. It's you and God alone. Peace toward God. Read with me Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the most important piece of all three of them. So I want you to ask yourself, as you sit there in the chair this morning and you're listening online, do you have peace between your heart and God? I mean, Paul says, when you put your faith in Christ, there's something that changes inside us, and the Holy Spirit births something, and we have peace with God. There's one thing you want to make sure you've got before you exit this life. It's peace with God. The story of the last day of Jesus' life, a thief on both sides of the cross. One guy mocked Jesus and just kind of made fun of him. The other guy was repentant. And he turned to Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Do you know what Jesus' response was to the one guy who had a softened heart? Here's what he said. This day, you'll be with me in paradise or heaven. This day. This was probably the last hour or two of his life. Both of them were going to die in a short period of time. All three of them did. This guy made peace with God probably the last hour of his life. You know, people do that on their deathbeds. But you know what's better? Don't wait until your deathbed. Resolve it now. Resolve it today. Don't put it off. You never know how much time you got or don't have. And so the thief on the cross, that day, the last hour or two of his life, made peace with God. And he's in heaven because of that. God's grace is so amazing. But the other guy, from all we can tell and understand, he never had the heart change. And all we understand, he's probably not in heaven because he never made peace with God before he exited this life. So here's a quote on the heart of peace. A heart of peace gives life to the body. You want to experience life today? Make sure you got this peace, supernatural inner calm in your life. It'll give you life throughout your entire body. There's something powerful about being at peace with God. You get up in the morning and you don't know what's going to happen, and there's stuff happening in life, but when you have peace with God, you can motor through a lot of stuff and overcome many things just because, wow, it gives you energy for living. The second kind of peace. It's what I call peace with others. It's peace with others. Now, read with me Hebrews chapter 12, 14 and 15 in your notes. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile men. This is horizontal peace. The first one is peace with God. It's vertical, between you, your heart, and God. This second dimension of peace is your relationship with every person in your life today. Right now, I know what you're doing. You're scanning it in your mind. You have family. You have personal friends. You have casual friends. You have people at the office. And in that scan, let me tell you what you're reading. You see a little blip, like the radar of an airplane in the air traffic control tower. And you know what the blip is? The blip is probably a hot spot. In one of your horizontal connections with somebody in your life. And that relationship may have a little friction in it. There may be a little bit of fracturedness in it. And so Paul, or the writer here in Hebrews, says this: make every effort to live at peace with all men and women. It's interesting that when I have a blow up with one relationship in my life, how it just colors everything. I'm okay with God. I mean, I feel it's not against him, but it's with another person. And I got to deal with it, or I don't feel right. I'm out of sync. There's something that's there. There's a blip on the screen. It's just a hot spot. You see, the writer here says, make every effort to live in peace. And I want to walk through a couple of steps. If there's somebody in your life that you've got a hot spot with, a friction point, it says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and women. Here's a couple of steps. Number one, you own your part. You own your part of it. Could be 10%, could be 40%, maybe it's 60, whatever. You just own your part. And then secondly, listen closely, you as a leader, the bigger person, go to the other person to try and make it right. You know what I see happening when two people are at odds? They're waiting for the other person to apologize. And they could wait for many years. Ain't going to happen. May never happen. But the bigger person, the stronger vessel, the one that God will bless the most is the one who takes the first step. It says, make every effort to live at peace with all men. So what do? You go to the person. You own your part of it. You apologize. Say, hey, if I did this, I'm wrong. Don't go looking for them to reciprocate. If they do, it's awesome, but they may not. You see, you can try and patch something up with people, and they are not ready to come around yet. But do your part. Do your part to live at peace with all people, which will require taking the first step, at least to own your part of it. And I tell you, when you do that, the other person usually, generally, will reciprocate. But it takes somebody to go first. And what I observe is oftentimes two people are waiting for the other person to go first. And it may not happen. The writer says this: see to it that no one misses the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. You know what happens when we don't deal with the root of a fractured relationship? Something begins to grow inside us that suffocates us. It just somehow, the oxygen within us, we get smothered. We don't feel good about it. Our life constricts. It gets smaller. And the root of bitterness can just mess with a lot of stuff. I want to share with you three slides. And I'm going to call this Christmas wisdom, all right? Here's the first one. Forgive others, not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. Maybe what that person did to you is totally out of bounds. That happens to all of us. Forgive them. You know why? You deserve peace. Do it for yourself. Deal with it, move on, and you can feel better about life. Here's the second slide. You must be the master of your emotions if you wish to live in peace. For he who can control himself becomes free. What's that saying? Here's what it's saying. When you get together with family or some events over the next few weeks or office parties, I mean, it can get intense, we're busy, we're tired, but if you can control yourself, you'll be the one that's the victor. You'll be able to hang on and kind of work through things. And here's the third slide. There are times in life where we have to hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles. I mean, we have to discern, do we need to say something or not? Everybody's got to figure that out. But I found this in life. There are times in my life, and it even happened for me this last week, that I needed to just hold what I wanted to say in order to keep peace and just let it go. Listen, that may be the best advice you have for the next few weeks. There will be times. Be prepared. We'll survive. We'll get over it. We'll get past it. We don't have to always have the final word. The person that gets the final word may get the final word, but they may end up losing their peace. You know what I'm saying? We all been there. We've done that. We don't always have to be right. Just work it in such a way that say, God, I want peace towards other people. And there's always a give and take, even in the best of relationships, of sometimes holding back what we want to say just a little bit so we don't blow it up and fracture the relationship. So the first kind of peace is peace toward God. It's vertical. The second peace is peace with others. It's horizontal. It's all of our relationships. The third kind of peace is this. It's peace toward yourself. Peace toward yourself. Let me explain that. This involves nobody but you. Not the person sitting next to you, not a husband or wife, not a friend. It's peace within yourself. I'll call this the inward peace. And in Luke 24, Jesus he died, he rose again, and the disciples are all down because he's gone, and they don't know where he's at, and he appears to some of them. And read with me Luke 24, 36 in your notes. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." I mean, he's raised from the dead, and he joins up with his disciples, and he says, "Hey, peace." What is peace? Inner calm in the midst of disappointment. He says, "Peace to you." I mean, it's a proclamation. In the Amplified Bible, it expands this same verse. I'm going to read it to you. It's in your notes. You can follow along. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself took his stand among them and said to them, "Peace." And then in the brackets, that is freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin. Be to you. This is about you to you. This is about your peace about yourself. And here's what I think it's saying. You and I struggle about things that we did 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's called emotional baggage. It's a hurt. It's a pain. And we often will hold things against ourselves. It's here called the distresses that are experienced from something in our past, whether it's sin or a hurt, whatever it is. And Jesus is saying, "Hey, peace to you," which includes the distresses of stuff on the inside that we are holding against ourselves. I would dare say everybody here's got something in common. You've got something in your life you're still working on because you're distressed about it. And it may have happened years and years and years ago. I want you to grasp this. When Jesus said, "Peace be with you," listen, his peace covers you resolving the issues you hold against yourself. Everybody here knows the battle of what it is to try and forgive yourself. And Jesus says, hey, be free of all the distresses that are experienced as a result of something in your past. When we give our lives to him, he wants us to know peace with God, that's vertical, peace with other people, that's horizontal, but then peace toward yourself, that's inward. That word distresses is a big word. We all have distressors in our life. And I want you to know your Christmas gift from God this season might be this. He wants you to go to work on something. You know what it is? Dealing with what distresses you about something done 30 years ago. What we like to do is just kind of push it away. I mean, that's my tendency. I don't want to deal with that one. I've dealt with it for years or decades. And Jesus is saying, hey, peace to you, which includes peace toward yourself. God may have already forgiven you of it. Maybe it involves or doesn't involve somebody else. But you know where the struggle's at? It's inside of us. It's us to us. It's me to me. It's something inside Larry. And Jesus said, hey, peace to you, which includes freedom from the distressors as a result of something I did in the past, whether it be sin or pain. Here's a quote I'll have Jack put up. The writer says, I've made peace with myself. My challenge to you is this. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to make peace with yourself with. Now, the only way it's going to be done is when you go to the Father and say, Father, I don't have the power to do this. I've hung on to this for years. I have anger towards myself. I'm disappointed. I have shame. I have grief. And God the Father says, okay, let me work with you on it and let his love come in and change you so that you can arrive at a greater place of peace within yourself, toward yourself. So three kinds of peace. Toward God, that's the most important one. Toward others, and then toward yourself. Here's a concluding slide. A life with inner peace is priceless. And understand that through his grace, the Prince of Peace, his love for us, his passion for you, his commitment to you, his covenant. He wants you to know the supernatural inner calm, being at peace with God, peace with others, and at peace with yourself. And when you get there and you continue to work at it, it's not a one and done thing. It takes repeated effort, doesn't it? We guard that, and the peace of God just can somehow mushroom and expand, and we feel good about life. Jack's going to come in just a few moments to lead us in the communion ritual. But I want us to take just a few moments of prayer. And I'm going to walk through these three areas. And I'm going to ask you a question or two. So bow your heads with me. Those online, do the same thing. The first one is, do you have peace with God? It's a vertical deal. You can get peace with God right there in your chair. Maybe there's something you just need to confess to him or say, God, help me with this, forgive me. But I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer where you can make peace with God if you never have. Just bow with me and pray this. Father, thank you that you love me. Forgive me of my sin. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. May he be my Lord and Savior from this moment forward. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time, would you put your hand up and put it down? Anybody? All right. All right, a lot of people. Here's the second category, peace with others. What does your radar show you in your relationships with other people? You got any hot spots? God will show you what to do. You just own your part. That's it. If an apology is needed, go for it. You make every effort to live at peace with all people. You do your part, you then just let it go. But you got to do your part so that the root of bitterness will not grow up and cause trouble. Just ask God for wisdom. Is there anybody I need to reach out to? And finally, here's the third category. Peace toward yourself. God is showing you right now of an area or areas you need to work on yourself. And maybe the biggest challenge this Christmas and the biggest reward and potential payoff is if you go to work on it to learn to forgive yourself. It's a ragged edge inside you, something that was done years ago that you struggled with, that there's this sense of regret, shame, guilt, whatever it is. And God is saying, listen, peace to you in that area to cover and to change the distresses in your life because of something done years ago. Say to God right now, God, I will go to work on this through your power, through your love, to forgive myself. It'll take some effort, take some repeated attempts of believing that God can forgive us, and if he can, we can forgive ourselves. And we can have a greater peace toward ourselves. Father, I pray for every person here and listening online that the supernatural inner calm would somehow be multiplied in our hearts. You will just do something in the next few weeks that blesses us beyond measure, beyond our comprehension, beyond our ability to understand. But it says the peace of God can transcend everything. Bless every person here, I pray, with a greater measure of peace this Christmas season. In your name we pray. Amen.